It's time for a Swedish Fika with some Swedish fun facts with your host, Pixelpia.
In today's episode, I'm going to talk about something that is very close to my heart, education. And the focus will be on primary education. I will divide this into five sections. The first section, I want to give you an overview of the Swedish school system. Then I want to talk a little bit about our curriculum. In part three, I want to talk shortly about grades and individual education plans. I will also do a very short description of the Swedish teacher education. And finally, I will focus on my experience. I hope you will enjoy. Hejsan, hej. I am Pixelpia, and I have been a teacher for a very long time. I got my Swedish teacher's degree in 1988, and I worked as a teacher for 15 years in Sweden before I moved to the US. After I moved here, I went back to college. I went online and got my American teacher's degree. And even though I haven't worked full-time as a teacher here, I have had several long-term substitute assignments, and I have been substituting for many, many years. So I can give you a pretty fair comparison, I believe. I should say that my teaching was all done in New Jersey, and here in the US, it can look very different between different states. So let's begin by taking a very short look at the Swedish school system. First, we have förskola or nursery school or preschool, which is provided by the municipalities for children age 1 to 5. I know very little about förskolan, but it is voluntarily and you pay according to your family's income, the age of the child, and different pay grades from different municipalities. Then we have the compulsory school. In Sweden, the educational system is mandated from the year you turn 6, and it's all mandated by the Swedish Education Act. You have a 10-year compulsory system divided into 4 stages. The first stage is förskoleklass, preschool year, which can be compared to the kindergarten year here in the US. Then we have lågstadiet, which is year 1, 2, and 3. Can be translated as lower grades or elementary grades. Then we have mellanstadiet, year 4, 5, and 6, which can be translated to middle stages or middle school. And högstadiet, year 7, 8, and 9, which is the higher stadium or high school. All these are free. And when I say free, I mean totally free compared to schools here. As a student, you don't pay for your school. The school provides all materials. You don't need to bring pencils and glue or anything of that. All the needed educational material is provided by the school. They also have free school lunches. These are cooked meals. Besides the municipal schools in the compulsory system, we also have the Sami schools. These are schools for the indigenous Sami people that works in the same way as our förskolan, lågstadium, mellanstadium and högstadium. After this, you have the secondary school system, what we call gymnasium, which is year 10 to 12, and it can be compared to high school here in the US. This is optional, but around 85% of all Swedish students go through this gymnasium. They have 18 regular national program of 3 years. Of these 18 programs, 6 are preparatory for higher education, such as university. 12 of the programs are vocational. And then we have, alongside this, both in the compulsory and the high school system, we have an independent school system, which is called friskola, or free schools. These are also free of charge and are subsidized the same way as the municipal schools. There are a few private schools where you have to pay. You can choose to go to a private school. They are not regulated by the curriculum for the compulsory schools, and they can have their own programs. Friskolorna, the free schools, have to follow the compulsory curriculum. So let's talk about this curriculum for the primary school. The curriculum has 5 parts: the school's core values and missions, overall goals and guidelines for the education, a section about the preschool class, the förskoleklasserna, kindergarten, a section about the holiday home, and this is something that all schools offer. This is sort of childcare before and after the school day. And then the 5th part is the course plans. And we have course plans for picture. I don't know why they translated it to picture. I will call it art because it's much more than drawing. Biology, English, physics, geography, home economics, history, sports and health, chemistry, mathematics, modern languages, mother tongue, and then they have a couple of special mother tongue here for Finnish, Yiddish, Meänkieli, and Romani, which are 4 of the recognized minority languages in Sweden. We have music, religious knowledge, civics, handicraft, Swedish, Swedish as a second language, sign language for the hearing, and technique. And technique includes IT as well. We also have 2 other course plans that is not obligatory for everybody, and that is dance and Jewish studies. For each of these course plans, let's take a look at English, for example. Each course plan has a syllabus describing the topic the course is. They have a section that describes the purpose of the topic. And then we have the central content. And that is divided into a section for grade 1, 2, and 3, one section for grade 4, 5, and 6, and one section for grade 7, 8, and 9. And if we look, as I said, for English, for grade 1 to 3, the central content for grade 1 to 3 in English is part 1, communication, subject areas familiar to the students, everyday situations, interest, people and places, everyday life and ways of life in different contexts and areas where English is used. They have one section about listen and read. You should understand clearly spoken English and simple texts that are instructive, descriptive, and contact-making from different media, also in combination with illustrations. You should be able to listen to and read simple dialogues and conversations. Movies and dramatized stories for children, songs, rhymes, poems and fairy tales, and words and phrases in the immediate environment, for example, on signs, in advertising, and other simple texts. And when it comes to speaking, writing, and conversing, you should be able to give simple presentation, messages, description, and dialogues in speech and writing. Do a simple call and songs, rhymes, and dramatization. And this is for grade 1 to 3. Then it goes on for grade 4 to 6 and grade 7 to 9. And then in each subject, we also have the grading criteria. So let's talk about the grading system. Sweden has a grading system with letter grading A to F. F is you flunked. A, C, and E are the three different levels that are described in the grading criteria. B and D are used if you are between two of the described grading system. When it comes to grading, we only give our students grades in year 6 and year 9. All the other years, we do what is called an IUP, a written individual development plan, which has two parts, a judgment part and a looking forward part with plans for how we can help this student reach. These are written for each student. You plan ahead, you summarize and describe what efforts the school need to make in order for the student to meet the knowledge requirement for the end of year 6. So for most of a student's compulsory school, they get these individual development plans. They are written once a year, often in connection with the student and maybe even parents, where you have a discussion and write these plans together. You only get graded in year 6 and year 9. And as I said, the grading criteria is part of the curriculum, but it's a little bit more complicated because each municipal has the freedom to interpret the curriculum and the grading system, and each school even sit down and interpret and write what this means for their individual school. So you have your local plan as well as the national curriculum. You have some national testing in year 3, 6, and 9 in Swedish, English, and math. And these are done so you can see that you are meeting the standards from the different course plans on a national level, but also on a local level. Let's talk a little bit about teacher education. If you want to become a preschool teacher, you go to the university for 3.5 years. As I said, I am not very familiar with the preschool teaching, but I know it's divided into three main parts: the school in society, the student at school, and teaching and development. Then we have the compulsory teacher education. And here you have three programs for the lågstadiet, grade 1 to 3, and for mellanstadiet, 4, 5, and 6. There is 4 years of full-time studying. This includes student teaching and all the subjects that you teach for 3 grades. When it comes to högstadiet, 7, 8, and 9. It can vary depending on your combination of subjects. You choose 2 or three subjects that you will be teaching. And there are a lot of different combinations, and you choose subjects from different groups. And depending on your choice, you have between 4 and 4.5 years of education. And that includes student teaching. I will leave a link to Skolverket, which is the National Swedish School Board, if you are interested in more details about everything I have talked about so far. Now, let's look at my experience, and let's start by talking about things that are very different. First of all, I have, back in Sweden, I have been teaching mostly grade 4, 5, and 6. I have been teaching 7, 8, and 9 at a special school, and that's not special education. This was a school for troubled teenagers. Oh, I should mention, when it comes to special needs, what we call special education here in the US very often, there are a few special needs schools. For example, if you are blind or if you are deaf, there are a few special needs schools. But most students are integrated in the normal educational system. There are back to differences. Let's start by the very obvious. And that is, as I mentioned before, that Swedish schools supply everything a child needs for their education. Writing material, books. Most schools have computers, computer access for every student. You get your lunch at school for free, a cooked meal. So this hopefully will create a better equality between students. No one has more or less access to material than any other kid, because school provide the same for everybody. Another difference is most students in Sweden walk to school. Our schools are in general smaller, fewer students, which means you live walking distance from your school. We don't have the system like over here with the yellow school buses. Most students walk to and from school. Another very big difference from a teacher perspective is that I felt that we had more freedom as a teacher to individualize for each student. Since our curriculum are very much written to be interpreted, and each school and group of teachers do that work, spend that time to really formulate the curriculum so it fits their school and their students. Nobody told me as a teacher what I had to do, how I should do it, when I should do it. For example, if I realized that a large group of my students weren't ready to move on in math, I could stop where we were and spend extra time on things that they have missed when it came to understanding before we moved on. I also had a much larger freedom to individualize between students. Another big difference is that for the lower grades, kindergarten is 1 year. You go there 1 year with that teacher. Then you go to lågstadiet, grade 1, 2, and 3. Usually, you have the same teacher all 3 years. The same for grade 4, 5, and 6, mellanstadiet. When you start in grade 6, what we call high school, högstadiet, you get teachers that are more specialized, and you have several teachers. But for the lower grades, you have the same teacher for more than 1 year. This gives me as a teacher a couple of advantages. First, I don't have to start each school year by getting to know each student and finding their preferred method of learning, what they already know, what knowledge we can build on. I need to do that the first year. But year 2 and 3, I already know my students. Another effect of this is that I don't need to be panicked if I feel that some student need to take a little bit longer with a subject, need to spend a little bit more time on math compared to English, for example, because I know I have 3 years to reach the goals for grade 6. So that is a big difference. When I'm here, felt that you had to hand in your lesson plan that told exactly what you had to do each lesson of the day. And I felt that I was forced to follow that when I work in an American school, regardless of the students were ready to move on or not. So I felt that I had a much greater freedom of actually being able to help each individual student. And let me talk a little bit about how this looked for me. When I worked at one particular school for many years, I think I was there 8-9 years, we had decided at our school that we would prefer to work with age mixed groups. So grade 1, 2, and 3, instead of having one class of grade 1, one of grade 2, and one of grade 3, we split them up. So each class had all three ages within the class. And I worked in Mellanstadiet, so I had a mix of 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in my classroom. There were a lot of advantages with this. First of all, every student at one point during these 3 years would be the one that could teach other students, would feel that feeling of, I know this, I can help you with this, which is not as valued as I believe it should be. To see a student be able to explain to another student how something works is something that really builds confidence, and this helps them with all their subjects. Another advantage was that if you are very fast and learn things very quick, you could always move on and do things with the more advanced students if we worked in groups, for example. Another thing that I really liked with this system was how it helped the students on an individual basis to mature. The youngest kid looked at the older kids and learned a lot of good habits when it came to their schoolwork from the older students. The older students took on a different kind of responsibility, especially in the beginning of each school year, when it came to helping the new students that came into the class, which usually was just a third of the class, so it was 8-10 new students every fall, and they took up on a greater responsibility of helping them finding their way in the atmosphere of our class. So this built a community within the class that I haven't experienced anywhere else, not in Sweden in a regular class, not in the US. This was something very specific that happened in the age-mixed classroom. Another great advantage was that it forced us as teacher to really sit down and think, how can we make this work? How can we change order of when we study things? Take a subject as geography. Traditionally, grade 4, you studied Sweden. Grade 5, you studied Europe. Grade 6, you studied the rest of the world. When we started to age-mixed our classes, it wasn't that natural to do it this way. So we as a group of teachers had to sit down and think, how will we teach each subject so it still makes sense? Some subject like geography or religious knowledge or whatever we talked about was easy. We just had to find another definition for each school year. And I know that we decided that year one was big lakes and oceans, and we studied countries all around the world that had a lot of lakes or were at the coast or were islands. And we studied all kind of subjects from all these countries, religious knowledge, geography. We could go into physics if they had any famous physicians. We could integrate all kinds of subjects into those headlines for each year. It was harder when it came to subjects like math, Swedish, English, where you need a certain level of knowledge before you can move on. So what we did, we chose to have part of our school day as individual work hours, where each student had their own study plan for these subjects. They had their own math plan written. They had their own Swedish plan written. They had their own English plan written for the year. And then they broke it down so they planned themselves for the week. This week I will do this. And those plans they had to show me as a teacher, and we agreed when it was a working plan that we could work with, an acceptable plan to work with. This made it possible. For example, a student that had difficulty with math could spend more time of this individual work time on math and less time, for example, on English or on Swedish, because that was their individual need. It also made it possible to individualize methods of learning, for example. Some students learn fastest and easiest when they read. And some of them need to read in silence, no disturbance around them. Other students might learn best by being active, moving as they learn, or by doing, by building, by drawing, by creating. This made it easier for me to individualize and help each student to learn things with a method that fit their needs the best. I would like for you to go to my website, swedishfika.com. You find up in the top of the website, you have a section called Episodes Notes. If you go there, you will find today's episode, and you can leave a comment there if you would be interested in me talking more about specific experience I had in Sweden. I would love to share that with you. For example, I did an experiment for a period of time where the student had flexible work hours. They could choose to start their school day at 8:30 or 9 and go home at 2:30 or 3. I have, as I said, worked for a couple of years in a special school environment for grades 7, 8, and 9 with students that were practically kicked out of the regular school system because they didn't adjust. So I have many, many personal experiences from Sweden that I would love to share. And if that is something that would interest you, go to my website and leave a comment on today's episode. To sum up, Sweden has 10-year obligatory school system where everything is provided for you. Everything is free. School material, school lunch, writing material, everything you need to be able to reach the national standards of our school education. And I think that is the biggest difference between schools in Sweden and schools in the US, that the school provide everything needed. As a teacher, I felt that I was more trusted in that I knew how I would teach my students for the best results. Here, I feel that there are too many outside factors that will tell me what to do and how to do it. I don't feel that there is the trust in teachers as I felt in Sweden. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until next time, as we say in Sweden, hej då!
You can keep up with everything from A Swedish Fika on aswedishfika.com or on Facebook as A Swedish Fika. And you can reach Pixelpia at pixelpia@aswedishfika.com.